Excuse me.
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 Hello, everybody, and
Excuse me.
Why did it start playing again? That's bizarre.
Tari's like, wait, Rob, I'm not done.
Seriously. What the hell was that about? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and try that again then. Jesus. I've never had that happen. All right, whatever. Got to try again. Here we go.
Excuse me.
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 Hello, everybody, and welcome to Morgan Dorks. This is a bi-weekly Daria podcast where we take an in-depth look at our favorite animated teenage misanthrope episode by episode. I'm Rob Press.
And I'm Nissa Lee. And today we are looking at season 5, episode 3, Fat Like Me, in which a leg injury leads Stacy to gain a little bit of weight, and it basically brings down the Lawndale High social structure, all while Daria and Jane flit about in the background like Shakespearean troublemakers. The episode aired on March 5th, 2001, so coming up on that anniversary.
Yeah.
And it was written by Peggy Nichol. Nichol's episodes have mostly hovered around the lower middle of our list, except for her most recent efforts, Fire! Exclamation mark, which currently sits at number 7, and Is It Fall Yet? Question mark, which she co-wrote. It sits at number 15.
Yeah, so we are 20 years and 2 days since this episode premiered.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. And also worth noting, a friend of the show, Nathan Murphy, pointed out that Daria, the first episode of Daria, Esteemsters, actually aired on March 3rd of 1997. So we are recording this March 3rd. We're releasing it tomorrow, March 4th. But yeah, so.
Because we procrastinate.
Yes, very much so. So this today, and if you're listening to this, you know, tomorrow morning, today plus one day is the 24th anniversary of Daria, which is crazy to think of.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I know we always say like, oh yeah, this show is 20 years old. Like we use that, you know, shorthand. And I don't really think too often about the fact that, no, it's actually like closer to 25 mm-hmm. years old. And for some reason, that feels so much older.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what is time anymore?
Yeah, that's a good point. We are all 25 years older in this.
The past year.
Yeah. Welcome to like March 368th, I think. All right. Why don't we go ahead and roll into our beat by beat? Yeah. Okay. So we open at a fashion club meeting at Sandy's house where they're going over membership standards. Troublingly, those standards include a weight limit, which Sandy moves to lower by 3 pounds. The other members of the group disagree with the motion, but Sandy overrules them because that's democracy for you. They're interrupted by Sandy's brothers, who are fighting on the stairs. Through an unfortunate series of events involving an RC car, Sandy ends up falling down said stairs and breaking her leg.
Oh my God, Rob. I just realized that the intro, I said Stacy and not Sandy.
Ah, what are you going to do? Yeah, that's well, so as we will discuss a little bit later on, I mix these two up all the damn time.
I tried to catch it in the show notes, but I didn't that early.
Yeah, that's my bad. Sorry. I'm just gonna, and of course I'm fixing it retroactively. Like that's gonna do anything. It's gonna, no. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so. So we have a Sandy, is it? Yeah, we have a Sandy-centric episode coming up.
Yes. Not Stacy, you know, Sandy.
Not Stacy,
although Sandy. Although Stacy does play a pretty big role.
You know what? I end up liking Stacy quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah,
throughout this episode. But between the title and the conversation that we see right off the bat about weight limits, I'm kind of concerned about what this episode is going to say with regard to teenage girls and their weight. The obesity epidemic that Sandy mentions did ramp up significantly over the course of the 90s, and it was a huge topic of conversation when this episode was released. But frequently the obesity is an epidemic rhetoric is used to mask something much more degrading and fat phobic.
Yeah. This should be interesting. I think that it is something we should note that no one actually names the weight limit for the membership of the fashion club. Right. The fact that there is one at all is horrifying, of course. But Sandy wants to scale that weight limit down by 3 pounds. So seems petty. The concern on everyone's faces makes me think that this is less about the obesity epidemic and more about striking fear into the hearts of fashion club companions.
It
is, you know, peak Sandy.
Oh, there is so much peak Sandy in this episode. We've talked plenty about you know, the fashion club and their approach to aesthetics and you know, just how people look and how, you know, that is a dangerous thing to approach when you are making a show for teenage girls, or at least a show with a target audience of teenage girls. And you know, we're going to see it's interesting how this episode will ride that line between like nuance and just outright fucking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are some pretty good lines, like the one where Sandy says, "The obesity problem tearing apart the very fabric of our land." And Stacy says, "Not the fabric." I love it.
There's a lot of good. I feel like every time we have a Peggy Nicol episode, we talk about how, like, man, some of these lines are so good. Like, some of this just works.
I don't think that we actually mentioned it because I interrupted you about getting Sandy's name wrong, but Sandy actually falls down the stairs.
Yes.
And ends up breaking her leg in this first scene. So just wanted everyone to be on the same page moving forward.
Yeah. I think we have it right for the rest of the episode. We'll find out. If you hear about a character who is being a real piece of shit, just assume that it's not Stacy.
Yes.
All right. So we move on to Pizza King, where Girls Dem Sugar by Beanie Man plays as Daria and Jane are clearly a little bored. They appear to be alleviating their boredom by making small bets about their fellow townsfolk, like whether Kevin is going to entertain his friends by putting pepperoni over his eyes and pretending to be blind. Playmate of the Year by Zebrahead plays as we go to the Morgendorfer residence that evening. Quinn reveals Sandy's going to be in a cast for a month. Jake's in the middle of a rant about restaurants no longer serving rare meat because of concerns for stomach ailments. And that sort of trumps Quinn's news. She gets offended and storms off to her room.
Yeah, Daria and and Jane really are like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in this episode, aren't they?
Yes, it's so good. It's like, it's one of those things that I grew to appreciate as the episode went on, because they take a back seat.
Yeah, it took me a while to get on board with the B plot, but we'll see.
Yeah, but once it gets moving, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but don't put pepperoni on your eyes.
Yeah, yeah, it's bad. Maybe not a good idea.
There's spices in there and all sorts of stuff. You don't want to mess with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just dawned on me that he put pepperoni on his eyes, and then in the next scene, there's the rant about rare meat, and it's just like those two things combined. Oh, speaking of cringing,
oh geez,
Quinn's line where she says, "Poor Sandy, crutches don't go with anything." Oh no.
Yeah.
That made me cringe hard. I mean, the episode's like 4 minutes in, and we already have jokes about people who are obese, blind, and have mobility issues. Oh boy.
Yeah.
I mean, let me clarify, of course, that at this point I'm cringing more for the characters, not at the writing. You know, I'm, you know, seeing the story develop, but man.
Yeah, it's a precarious start. there's so many ways that this can go horribly, horribly wrong. And I don't know. We'll see how it ends up going. there is a nuanced take to be made about this episode, I think, but we'll have to see where we end up with that. I actually have it down here in the damn show notes. I can't throw stones at Helen for mixing up Sandy and Stacy, because I've been a fan of this show for 2 decades. I've written tens of thousands of words of show notes about it for a podcast we've been recording for 2.5 years, and I still get their names mixed up.
Yeah, it's maybe now we'll get it right.
No, we're not. No. I'm not. Maybe you will.
We'll see.
You're more of a professional than I am.
sure.
In Quinn's room on what is likely some other evening, she is entertaining Stacy and Tiffany. They're just kind of chatting when Quinn gets a call from Sandy, who tries to run a fashion club meeting over speakerphone. It doesn't go particularly well, due in no small part to how shitty Sandy's being toward Quinn, surprise, surprise. And when Sandy eventually gets a call from Cashman's and has to hang up early, it seems the rest of the fashion club is kind over her. At Lawndale High the following day, we hear Bohemian Like You by the Dandy Warhols as Mr. DiMartino's class is going about as well as it usually goes. Dari and Jane make another prop bet, this one based on what derogatory term Mr. DiMartino is going to call the kids today. Daria wins yet again. In the hallway afterward, the uninjured members of the fashion club meet to discuss the latest gossip, only to be stunned by the return of Sandy, now getting around on crutches and having put on a few pounds. And with that, we get to the end of Act 1 with Leaving Town by Dexter Friebisch.
I love how every time Sandy talks over the speakerphone for the fashion club meeting, the other fashion club members practically jump out of their skin.
Yeah.
This girl has them stressed.
Straight traumatized at this point. Like, it's so, like, it'd almost be, like, it'd almost be a little bit sad. I don't know.
Yeah. She's brutal.
Yeah. Particularly brutal in this episode. I gotta say though, it is nice seeing the rest of the fashion club like react appropriately to her being shitty.
Yes.
Like they have this kind of shared wordless to hell with that after the speakerphone call. And it's such a welcome change from the usual like ass kissing and patronizing that they do to try to keep her happy.
Yeah, yeah. It's it is really nice to see. I mean, they finally have the space to express or not express those opinions. But But we also see Quinn like really stepping up as like representative for Sandy. You know, she's the one that has to like make sure or the order is still maintained despite Sandy not being there. Quinn knows Sandy's gonna be back, you know.
Yeah. We're gonna have to get deeper into this episode before we really know how this is meant to be played. But are we really meant to think that Sandy is fat here? Like, this episode is wandering headlong into a minefield, and you know the image that we get of Stacy, or of Sandy, goddammit, of Sandy, you know, crutching in,
crutching, like, it's a verb.
I mean, look. I mean, the image that we get of her is not, it's not like she's suddenly 50 pounds heavier.
No.
Like, you know, it's not, I don't know. I feel like they like could have.
Maybe like 5 pounds.
Right.
Like maybe, they could. I don't know.
It's, you know what it is? It's a change they could have made to her character model without telling anybody. And I don't think anybody would notice.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Like, okay, so here's my opinion. I don't think that the audience is really meant to think Sandy is fat. Like, I couldn't tell either. Mm-hmm. But then again, I was more focused on her lime green belly-bearing shirt. So, like, for the sake of transparency here, I immediately jumped to judging Sandy. I thought, well, if she's trying to hide a few pounds, maybe that top isn't the way to go. I mean, it's belly bearing. It's got like these strappy shoulders, you know.
Right.
I don't want to think like that. I did, but I don't want to think like that. And it's not like I'm immersed in fashion trends. I am like, you know, I am the most amateur of fashion commentators on this show, right?
You are the only fashion commentator on this show.
but like, okay, so like, I think I've mentioned this before. At some point in my teens, I decided to stop reading beauty magazines because I knew just like how toxic they were. It's really hard to be a woman sometimes. But all of this is to say that I think that the fashion club members are the ones judging Sandy. If this situation isn't handled well, it really has the potential to cause a lot of damage to Daria's young and impressionable viewers. And like, I'm thinking of teenage me, right?
Right, absolutely.
And like, oh, is she fat? Is that fat? You know?
Right. Like put yourself in, I mean, you don't have to put yourself, like, you know exactly what this is like, but like, you know, I think of, and I mean, I struggled with weight quite a bit, like around high school. And, you know, I think of putting myself in those shoes of being like, well, if that person's like, if that drawing, if that representation of a person is considered fat, then like, what the hell am I? Like.
Yeah.
It's rocky territory. It's something that you have to do responsibly. And, you know, at first blush in this episode, we're really not necessarily doing all that well. Again, though, we also have to let it play out a little bit. Like, but man, it is. I spent a lot of time in this episode sucking air through my teeth. Like, just a whole lot of like, yep. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So act two opens with the rest of the fashion club unsure what to say to Sandy. She seems to be her usual extremely confident and in control self, but that doesn't last long before she is crutch walking out of the hallway as fast as she can to the tune of Fa Fa by Guster. Hell yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she pauses just outside the doors of the school to ask God why. In a phone call later, Quinn and Stacy are talking about Sandy's new look. When Quinn receives a call on the other line, it's Sandy, and Quinn comes running. I want to point out another really fantastic little Stacy line here when Sandy comes rolling in. And Sandy or Stacy says, God damn it. Stacy.
She comes rolling in?
Yeah. Well, look, colloquially.
Crutching in?
She comes on crutching in. Quinn, Tiffany, and Stacy are all like trying to figure out what the hell they're actually going to say. And Stacy's line is, yeah, you can hardly tell you've gained a cast.
It is a good one.
It's so good. Okay, so this scene where Sandy runs outside and asks God why, like, it is so hard for me to tell how much of this episode is meant to be tongue-in-cheek, and it is really throwing me off. Like, are we meant to think Sandy actually looks fat? Are we meant to take this why God, why me moment from Sandy seriously? Like,
Yeah, I think the melodrama feels really, really weird coming from Stacy. And I think in part...
Sandy.
Or Stacy. Oh, Sandy, I did it. Strike one. Okay. It feels weird coming from Sandy. I think that it's in part because it's kind of rare that we see other characters aside from Daria completely alone and talking to themselves. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. My own reaction to that moment is like, looks like someone's getting her comeuppance. Maybe if she weren't such a shitty person to everyone, this wouldn't be such a disaster for her. But, I mean, so that is my reaction. But at the same time, I think you have to kind of step out of the, are we meant to take this a certain way and just say like, how am I reacting to this? Because it's probably how I reacted to it then. and like, my reaction is like, this is absolutely silly.
Yes.
And, you know, we should treat it as such.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as the episode moves forward, like there, you know, it starts to play its hand a little bit more obviously. And this I think was the first moment where I was like, maybe they're fucking around a little bit here.
Yeah.
I will note there, as with most of the lines delivered by Stacy in this episode,
the actual Stacy.
Yes. The actual Stacy, she refers to Sandy's weight issues as being, quote, differently weighted and thinly challenged.
It's a good one.
They're like just far enough on this side of charming to work. But also like they're, you know, we are of course remiss if we don't think too much about it as we usually do. And mention that there is a bit of a play there at, you know, like anti-ableist language.
Yeah, there is. I thought it was adorable because
yes.
Stacy is so well-meaning. She's such an innocent kid.
She is. She's so nice.
And she's trying so hard to shift her mindset and being accepting of her friend. And that language is the only model she has for, you know, what she's trying to do. So
right.
Makes sense. Sense, I guess.
Yeah, it's coming from a pure place. She's
yes.
not. She's not saying like, "Oh, well, you know, you're differently weighted now." She's saying, like, "Oh, well, I mean, yeah." She's trying to think of a way to express the thing that won't hurt her friend's feelings.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's about as pure as it gets.
So, and it's like, not even to her friend's face, you
right.
know.
Right. At Sandy's house, Quinn's at her bedside. Sandy reveals that in accordance with the Fashion Club's obesity policy, she intends to resign the presidency. Quinn, doing her usual stellar job at placating Sandy's feelings, says she could never replace Sandy,
which Sandy immediately jumps on and pretends to take literally, essentially guilting Quinn out of being Fashion Club president. She humbly accepts Quinn's resignation.
This was such a roller coaster. I was so confused by what was going on here. I was like, wait, she accepts Quinn's resignation from the Fashion Club or as president? I was so confused. But there are also tears. And I was like, whoa, are these tears actually sincere? Is Sandy crying for real here?
That was my question. I don't know.
They're like, is this manipulation? Is she just like, you know, a complete narcissist? I don't know. But this girl is a roller coaster and Quinn just cannot unbuckle the damn seatbelt.
All right. Live your life in such a way that the folks around you don't have to assume that you are being the most shitty person you can be at any given moment. Because in any other context with any other character, we see them break down in tears and we're like, oh, all right, you know, maybe that was an actual moment for them. But with Sandy, we're like, I don't know if we can trust that.
You're so right.
Oh my God. But like, you know, I choose to believe that this is her just manipulating the hell out of Quinn because I have no reason to believe otherwise. Right. In that case, this is prime Sandy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is capital P, capital S, prime Sandy. And I am so here for it. She is totally shitty. She is 100% heel. And it is so good.
You know, it is very possible. And like, this is when people get dangerous. It's very possible that she is feeling these feelings and also just like taking the opportunity to manipulate.
Yes. You know? Oh my God. Oh, there are novels to be written. At the Morgendorfer residence, Daria and Jane are watching television when they're interrupted by Quinn. She succinctly explains all the Fashion Club drama that's afoot, but is quickly reminded that she's playing to maybe the least invested audience in the history of audiences. She flees the room, but Jane sees the opportunity for another prop bet. Jane bets the Fashion Club is done for good. Daria bets they're going to find a way to keep plugging along because, quote, that club's like a hydra. You cut off one airhead, two more grow back.
The best line.
Yeah. Jake, who is clearly living out his own bizarre episode of Daria off camera, wanders in with a fistful of food bags, just lamenting the fact that none of them have cooked his burgers rare. Great. I appreciated Daria. Like, Quinn comes in ranting about Fashion Club stuff, and Daria's reaction is, Quinn, it's me, Daria. It's so well done. Speaking of well done,
nice segue.
Yeah, there you go. This really couldn't matter less in the context of Daria discussion, but it is worth noting that a rare burger is not a great idea. Rare steak is totally fine because the internal portions of the meat, which won't make it up to the pathogen killing temperatures, haven't been exposed to any work surfaces, but rare ground beef has been through a grinder and thus all of the meat within the burger, which if ordered rare, won't make it anywhere close to pathogen killing temperatures, has been in contact with potential contaminants.
Yeah. All the surfaces.
Yeah. But also, like, back on topic of Daria discussion, what the fuck is Jake doing getting a bunch of burgers?
Yeah. Apparently, he has completely forgotten about his heart issues.
Speaking of someone with heart issues, that shit's hard to do. good for him, yes. But also, oh no.
Yeah. His memory of a goldfish, that one. So we were talking about the B plot and Daria and Jane being like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like at this point in the show, I am thinking like, what is with the betting? Like, you know, this is a tool. You know, this is a trick that we see a lot in Daria and in the episodes. Sorry. Haven't had much sleep lately. So I'm thinking, like, is this just what happens when the Fashion Club takes center stage? Daria and Jane just bet the entire episode, and all Daria and Jane are good for a few witty lines and a monetary exchange. And I'm like, missing a thematic connection, maybe? Is it the buying your friendship thing? That's what I'm thinking at this point in the episode.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I've watched the entire episode and I get it now, but that was my reaction at the moment.
Yeah, it felt kind of superfluous. It didn't feel like it needed to be there. And you know, it was as someone who didn't necessarily remember a whole lot from this episode going into it, it was a pleasant surprise to see where it ended up. But yeah, it's one of those things where, like, if you're keeping a critical eye on it at first, it's a little bit of a weird bummer. All right. In an impromptu fashion club meeting, Quinn reveals to Stacey and Tiffany that both her and Sandy are resigning their posts. She gives a rousing speech, which we're just going to go ahead and play the entirety of.
Quinn, you can't go! What will we do without you?
You're going to carry on the fashion club mission. You'll stop the vertically challenged from wearing really fat stripes, point out icky fibers to icky fibers wearers, and fight frosted shadows wherever you go, unless it's at a costume party. You'll hold yourselves up to the highest standards possible. No ankle boot too pointy, no chartreuse too chartreusey, and no mock turtleneck too mocky. And finally, you will never, ever date anyone less attractive than you are. Although equally attractive is okay.
It's worth highlighting that speech because if you took every fashion club scene in all of Daria and boiled it down into a syrup, that is the clip you would get. Also, that, you know, little bit of pop culture here, that flute tune we hear behind Quinn's rousing speech is a play on the main theme of Patton, which was a 1970 film starring George C. Scott as General Patton.
Lovely.
In the halls of Lawndale High the following day, Daria reveals the fashion club is soldiering on and demands her money. Jane insists on giving it some time. Meanwhile, over at Tiffany's place, the very first Stacey Tiffany only fashion club meeting is underway. We hear Good Fortune by PJ Harvey as Stacey tries to coach Tiffany through the whole thing, but it's just not going well at all. Cut right back to the halls of Lawndale High, where Stacey and Tiffany are begging Quinn to come back. Quinn declines because she promised Sandy, but they point out Sandy doesn't have to know. Quinn says she'll think about it, and who else would happen to be listening in on their conversation but Jane? Jane wanders over to Brittany, who is within earshot of Quinn, and proceeds to ask her a hypothetical question about a backstabbing friend and the dire consequences thereof. Quinn overhears, as she was meant to, and quickly bolts. Just want to make a note here, right at the beginning of the hallway scene with Daria and Jane, we see Burnout Girl.
Hey.
Which, yeah, it's the background character modeled after supervising director and character designer Karen Disher. Who I am the new biggest fan of. if you haven't had the chance to listen to the interview we did with her last week, absolutely check it out. It was so goddamn fun.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Cannot say enough nice things about Ms. Disher.
I don't think I ever noticed until now just how leggy Burnout Girl is. She got legs for days.
I refuse to comment. We pointed out every single time it happens, I love me a Jane and Brittany scene.
Oh, yeah.
And this one opens with Jane walking up to Brittany and saying, Brittany, let me ask a make-believe question.
Yes, and it's finally Jane inserting herself into the A-plot. So, you know, as a voice of reason. So, of course, like, just after I'm like, when the hell are Daria and Jane going to actually become a part of the story? It actually happens.
Yeah. Also, I'll just point out, like, it's not necessarily a break in continuity or anything, but it was just last episode that Quinn was ragging on Daria for best friend backstabbing.
Oh, yeah.
This is a very different situation. of course, and the person being backstabbed is Sandy, not Jane Lane's best friend. But still.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, Quinn is just a lot more well-versed in the rules of romantic relationships, you know, as pertaining to friendships, than in just, you know, friend dynamics generally.
True. Okay. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm finding excuses.
We must defend Quinn.
Trying.
At Stacy's house, Quinn's on speakerphone telling Stacy and Tiffany. At Stacy's house, Quinn's on speakerphone telling Stacy and Tiffany she can't betray Sandy and come back to the fashion club. Stacy tries to soldier on with just Tiffany, but it is not going well. They're going to need more members. At the Morgendorfer residence that evening, Daria is sitting at the kitchen table eating straight out of a giant carton of ice cream because she is all of us. While Quinn's on the phone shooting down Stacy's ideas for additional fashion club members, Daria, sensing that the fashion club might actually be coming to an end, moves into action. She points out how brave it is for Quinn to stick by Sandy's side, even when she knows the obese are treated so unfairly by society, and it could directly impact Quinn's social standing. She suggests that a more shallow friend might try to help Sandy lose weight so she would join the fashion club again, but it's so nice that Quinn is just above that. Quinn, now with some things to think about, leaves the room. Daria smiles at a job well done as we pull into the end of Act 2.
So devious.
I love the image of Daria just posted up at the kitchen table with box of ice cream.
Totally. That ice cream carton may look family size, but we all know that it's for the alpha female of the family.
It's so good. So in this conversation between Daria and Quinn, like Daria, and by extension, the show, is straight up acknowledging fatphobic behavior here.
Yep.
And condemning it as shallow, which, good, that's what it should do. That is absolutely a good thing. But I wonder if we're hitting that note hard enough in the face of everything else we've seen throughout this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have a good answer because, I mean, it's as explicit as it can be without getting like sentimental in the same way that the like plastic surgery episode did, you know?
Right, right.
It just doesn't work with the B plot. Like here, you know, there's the bedding and, you know, the jokes and it works. But yeah, I don't know. I guess what it comes down to is it like it takes some mental gymnastics to listen to what Daria is saying, which is sincere, but also register that she is manipulating Quinn for a reason that we then have to remember, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is my brain is tired.
I say you dig like a little deep in this episode and we get a lot of questions. It's a fashion club episode. I'm finding it a little bit of a slog getting through it, but I very much appreciate the devious machinations of Daria and Jane.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. The plots are coming together. I'm here for it.
It's so good. So Act 3 opens with Quinn at Sandy's house. The cast is off, but Sandy's in bed wearing a muumuu and eating chocolates. Quinn says she's going to help Sandy get back into shape and pops a fitness tape into the VCR, which, oof, boy, that's a sentence trapped in amber. Uh-huh. the two share an emotional moment. which, because they're constantly sniping at and being disingenuous with one another, I actually kind of got skeptical at for a second or two.
Yeah. So let's start at the top. First of all, Sandy's moo-moo.
Yes.
And the chocolates is totally a throwback to Mrs. Johansson. The very large woman to whom Daria and Jane did not sell chocolates to in the Cafe Disaffecto episode. Mrs. Johansson is the series' go-to fat joke character. So, you know, it makes sense. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, like my mind, whenever I see a moo-moo, my mind goes back to that episode of The Simpsons where Homer decides to gain a lot of weight to get on disability.
Yes.
And he takes to wearing a moo-moo around the house.
Yeah, and the cap.
yes, and the cap. Yeah, it's not great. But again, it's so over the top.
Yeah.
Like, she's gained a couple pounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She presumably has the metabolism of a hummingbird. Like, she is like a 5-minute walk and a jumping jack away from being fine.
Yes.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's just, as we said before, you know, when your target audience is teenage girls, you know, it is a fine line to walk. But this, you know, this particular joke might go over the heads of people who aren't like seasoned watchers of Daria, right?
Right. Because, or even just like, you know, if you're, you know, say you're a 14-year-old girl watching this, like, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that, you know, a lot of this might just kind of fly over your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. paired with the workout video host saying that, you know, she, believe it or not, I was once over 100 pounds.
Oh
yeah. I mean, it's satire, but whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say the line in here of Sandy was lamenting to Quinn. She's like, "My life is over," and Quinn's response was totally just you know, with no inflection whatsoever, just total deadpan, like, "Sandy, you're not 30."
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny now, coming from the interview with Karen Disher, knowing that like a lot of the people on the show that were working on the show were under 30.
Yeah.
has another level to it now, for layer.
Oh, it's very good.
Can we talk about the fitness tapes in VCR, into the VCR?
What would you like to say about the fitness tape in the VCR?
It just brings me back, man.
Yeah.
Our gym classes were broken up into groups so that, like, there were the people who played sports. There were the people who played, I don't know, like, I don't even know. And then there were the people who were an individual, which was what I did, which is basically like going into the weight room and or just like walking around the track.
Yes.
And like part of the weight room component was like doing a workout video. and like 8-minute abs. And like,
oh,
that
8-minute
series was like totally my jam. Yeah, there was also Taibo, which I was not very much into.
Taibo was like the next, that was like the new hip version. That was like, yes, you know.
Well, that was like, that required a lot more movement.
Yes, yeah.
I was not into movement.
Yeah, so if if you are somehow unfamiliar with the aerobics video, the fitness videos of the late 90s, I want you to go ahead and picture, let's say, like 7 or 8 people. They're arranged in like a triangle formation, like a flock of geese. Mm-hmm. They're standing in front of this weird neon backdrop that could be coming off of a talk show. They're all wearing spandex.
Leotards sometimes, but those are a little usually more like early 90s to 80s videos.
Yeah. And sometimes it all matches, like they just stepped off the space shuttle.
Yes.
And they just start moving. They just start moving and yelling at you to also move.
And they're smiling.
And they're so happy about it too. It is horrifying. we're explaining this concept. I can't imagine anybody has no idea what an aerobics video is like. But
especially now in COVID times, everyone is getting their workouts online. But like, I don't know, there was just something very special.
Yes.
About the the VHS fitness videos,
you want your tracking lines across the screen. You want your warbled audio every now and then
because you have played that tape every day multiple times a day. At least in the case of my gym class.
There's a certain mood that we might never get back again, which maybe that's for the best, but nevertheless, we will wax nostalgic about it. Mm-hmm. At Lawndale High, Tiffany and Stacy, I have Tiffy written in here.
Job.
I'm a fucking mess. At Lawndale High, Tiffany and Stacy are lamenting the fact that they can't find anybody else to bring into the fashion club. In their desperation, they invite the 3 J's.
Oh God.
We're just gonna go ahead and play that clip.
Let's see the bikinis, man.
That's not till later. Right now, we're gonna discuss tank tops.
Tanks are cool.
Yeah, like in that movie, World War Blood.
I didn't see that movie. What color were the tank tops?
Green. What do you think? You want the enemy to spot your tank?
Well, yeah. That's kind of the whole idea.
But what about the element of surprise?
You surprise them by looking really hot.
He's talking about war.
So am I.
No, conceal and surprise.
You think I need concealer?
Where are the bikinis anyway?
Bikinis! Where are the bikinis?
Right here.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Excellent!
Which fabric do you like best?
Fabric?
Oh, Christ. Meanwhile, at a health club somewhere in Lawndale, Quinn's gone full swim coach and is making Sandy do laps to the tune of Love Don't Cost a Thing by Jennifer Lopez, a song I still get in my head with still get stuck in my head with alarming frequency.
You're a treasure.
I try not to be as adorable as I am, but it's
just give up.
It's a struggle.
Speaking of adorable and alarming.
All of this, every single bit of this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The 3 J's are fantastic. And them actually talking to Tiffany. I don't know if we've ever seen Tiffany interacting with them.
I don't know if we have.
But it is brilliant. Like, I want to be in her head. And it is the only time I have ever thought that. But when she's like, when he's like, he's talking about war and she's like, so am I. Brilliant.
And she's the only character who could deliver that line as well as she does. It's just so like, she can't believe that she has to explain this to anyone. Also, Quinn's swim coaching is distressing a little bit. I believe she calls Sandy a fat cow.
Yes. Yeah. She's been waiting her whole life. Also, she is really into the inspirational speeches of this episode.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, though, that she says Nefertiti instead of Nefertiti.
She absolutely does.
I did rewind a few times to make sure.
Yeah. We're going to give her that one. At Lawndale High, Mr. Deadman by Union Underground plays as Stacy brushes her hair angrily in the bathroom. Jane and Daria happen to be there as well, which means they're present to hear it when Tiffany walks in and asks about the time of the next fashion club meeting, only to be told there is no meeting. Tiffany asks how come, and Stacy loses it, and it rules, and we're going to play that clip, you bet.
How come?
How come? Because I can't take it anymore. I'm sick of doing all the work while you just sit there. I tried my best, and even if it wasn't as good as Sandy's or Quinn's, a chain is only as strong as its weakest round thingy, and you refuse to lift one freaking finger. I'm through running the fashion club all by myself while you stare in the mirror and talk about yourself, and I quit!
Maybe I should quit too. How come?
How come? Because I can't take it anymore. What? I'm sick of doing all the work.
Stop. Jesus.
Something's up with that.
Yeah, I don't know
today.
What's going on with our soundboard. Okay.
All better now.
Yeah. All right. With the fashion club now properly disbanded, it appears Daria has lost the bet. As Daria and Jane head out of the bathroom and into the hallway, Jane barely has the chance to count her money before it's revealed Sandy has returned in thin form, also to the tune of Love Don't Cost a Thing. Good for Stacy for standing up for herself here. This was absolutely awesome. And her impression of Tiffany is incredible.
Yes, absolutely. And the delivery, not just of the impression, but of the entire thing. And, you know, it's quick. It's the most we've probably ever heard Stacy talk. And it is... the greatest detail is the link only being as strong as its
chain
strongest,
only as strong or
chain,
as its,
yeah a chain only being as strong as
its weakest round thingy.
We're like oh yeah, this is Stacy. Okay.
It's so good. It is absolutely fantastic. You feel it in your bones, like just how rewarding that whole freak out is. I love it. I love Stacy. She's so fun. And I feel so bad for her routinely.
Oh, yeah.
So the girl standing next to Stacy when she learns of Sandy's return is none other than Brooke, the girl from season 1, episode 9, Too Cute, who got a bunch of plastic surgery and nearly drove the rest of the fashion club to do the same. We talked a whole lot about unrealistic beauty standards and the shitty things people do to themselves to meet them in our coverage of that episode. And it's not at all a coincidence that we're seeing Brooke here. I'm no longer concerned about the show not understanding its own take on fat phobia. I'm now concerned about whether its actual message might fly over the head of its intended audience.
Yeah. And that's the concern that I raised earlier. Like,
right.
The references make it so that longtime viewers, you know, are the ones that really get the point, and might not be the case for casual viewers. Also, I think that the image of Sandy surrounded by adoring schoolmates could have a huge impact on a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say something really embarrassing, but something that I think is really funny. I like to make fun of myself. So for some reason, like, you know, it stuck in my head that, like, there were these teen movies where people would, like, walk into a room and, like, people would start clapping for them for, like, various reasons. And it's just like, oh, this is a thing that happens? Why are people clapping for me? But it's like, it's stuff like that. Like, you know, these like weird details in shows right. and movies stand out to your, you know, developing brain.
Right. Yeah, you see Sandy all of a sudden getting getting the adoration of her classmates, and you're like, oh, well, if nobody's doing that for me, then it must mean that I'm like fat or ugly or, you know, the other.
Right.
Yeah. So next time we're hanging out, I'm going to, when you walk in the room, I'm going to slow clap.
Well, thank you. I'm going to get really paranoid when you do it. I'd be like, what's going on?
What's happening?
What did I do?
This is not okay.
Is there something on my shoe?
Yes. We're all standing and applauding the thing on your shoe. Oh, boy. At the first meeting of the reunited fashion club, Sandy rolls back the obesity policy and says it'll be more of a case-by-case basis thing. How generous. Mm-hmm. The meeting is not without its tension, though, as this fracture in the fashion club's bedrock has apparently given Quinn, Stacy, and Tiffany more courage to stand up to Sandy's bullshit. Over in the Morgendorfer kitchen, the hero journey of Jake Morgendorfer has come to an end. He's finally got a rare burger. Except it's not a rare burger, it's a medium rare burger, so what the hell. But whatever, Jake's happy. Anyway, he goes to bite into it when Daria points out the place he got it from had refrigeration issues relatively recently. Jake, disgusted and angered, puts the burger down and wanders off. Daria, with a smile, picks up the burger, and we go to credits with Lip Stuck by Eve's Plum.
Daria.
Yeah.
Clever Daria.
Yeah, hey, you know what? I am thrilled we finally get a resolution to the Daria never got to eat her goddamn burger plot from the episode Fire.
Yes! Absolutely. You're totally right.
This was important to me, and I'm glad we have addressed it. I like seeing this evolution. You know, we mentioned a little bit earlier that it's nice to see the fashion club kind of acknowledge that Sandy sucks. So it's really nice to see this evolution in the dynamic where they're standing up to her in her face. Like,
yes.
You know, it's not directly confrontational, but, you know, they're saying in their own way, like, no, we do think for ourselves and we want it to be this way.
Yeah, like we had the time to express our opinions and wasn't so bad. So let's keep doing it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Overall, a whole lot to both enjoy and also feel conflicted about throughout this episode,
mm-hmm.
Which I think leads us into our episode rankings, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. Oh my God. It happened again.
It's possessed.
It is. Oh no. Is it going to go again? It will. Okay, stop.
Whoa.
I need to figure out what's going on with that. We're so professional. All right. Ooh. This, I am completely lost on this one.
Do we like it? Do we not?
I don't know.
How do we feel? Yeah.
Okay.
Because I find myself really enjoying it at moments.
Totally.
I'm wondering if the solution to our to the perceived problem that we have talked about is that it just needed more, like, not slapstick, but more like, I don't know, melodramatic humor, you know.
It was clearly like it had that club in the bag, right? Like it had the moment with Sandy outside of the school, like, why God me, or God, why me, or whatever.
Yeah.
It had her like breaking down and crying with Quinn. It had the, you know, in a muumuu eating chocolates. It had all these moments. It had all these bits and pieces where it was clearly like there was an attempt at, at something much more directly satirical in nature. And they just didn't bang that drum hard enough. In my opinion, they didn't bang that drum hard enough. And it also like, and it's not necessarily helped by the fact that like the counter to, well, if you swing and miss with the satire, you're also saying a lot of really dangerous and not great shit to a very vulnerable audience.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And that's really what it comes down to. Like that's,
yeah,
it's bad. I have to say though, that like, I'm not sure I can conjure. Well, maybe I can if, you know, I take the time to think about it more than just on the spot right now. But I'm not sure I can conjure, you know, specific solutions. You know, I just think like, yeah, maybe if it were a little more melodramatic, you know, maybe if it had like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe if the humor was a little more obvious, it wouldn't be so bad. So yeah. General feedback there.
Do with that what you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24 years in the past. 20 years in the past.
It's so this is in some ways you could say like, well, maybe this is a more this is them taking like a more mature stab at it. This is them trying to be a little bit more nuanced. But I don't, if that's the case, I think they missed the mark with it. I think, yeah, you're right. I think, you know, lean hard into the satire, you know, maybe, you know, approach this with the same sensibilities that you might've approached, a season one or season two episode. And maybe this works a lot better because you weren't necessarily trying for anything more difficult.
Right.
Or not necessarily more difficult. That sounds disparaging, but like you weren't necessarily trying for anything more complicated than what it needed to be, you know?
Wasn't there an episode where they talk about someone being thin or fat or something and they're very clearly like dangerously thin?
Yes. Yeah, so actually this, I'm so glad you brought that up. So my thought is if we both loved and hated this episode to some extent, like there are things to really enjoy about this thing are things to really, really not like about this thing. And also, you know, we have an episode that is almost smack in the middle of our rankings that we have already mentioned at least once in our beat by beat. And I believe the one that you're talking about, which is Too Cute.
Okay. That is the episode.
That is, I think it's Brooke gets some liposuction. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden she is like terrifyingly thin.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So that is number 27 on our list, which like I noted, that places it like almost directly halfway. Mm-hmm. which I think would not be the worst, you know, that would not be the worst area for this episode to go.
Yeah.
I don't think. So I guess my question there would be, is this episode better or worse than Too Cute? And if so, by how much?
Oh, man. So, I mean, Too Cute ended up like landing on a, you know, a clear message, right?
Yes.
So it had that going for it. And, you know, good like sister scenes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think Too Cute succeeded in a lot of ways that this episode tried to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. And I'm also looking at like some of the episodes below it and I'm like, is this better than See Jane Run or Fair Enough or Gifted? Or even A Tree Grows in Lawndale, which was just really fun.
That was a very fun episode. I feel like I would draw a line at Mart of Darkness. If we're talking about this episode slipping down the rankings, I feel like, because I just think, I don't know, Mart of Darkness didn't really have much of anything crazy right. enjoyable. Because I mean, it's right above Daria Dance Party, and that was then. This is like that's right about where you start getting to, like, all right, you know, it's we'll call it the clunker zone.
The clunker zone.
I feel like this episode has enough to pull it out of that, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, there are like a lot of really good lines.
Yes.
You know, good character dynamic, but yeah. When you think about the audience, it's, I mean, I feel like I'm still fucked up from being a teenage girl, you know, and like all the beauty standards that, you know, don't really matter, still matter to me somehow, like right. deep down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, all right, well then I guess my question then would be like, how much do we hit this episode for the relative lack of care it took with an extremely sensitive subject?
You know, like, I think it tried to be, you know, responsible about it. It was a matter of, you know, the humor falling short.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they were being like super irresponsible. I just think that, like, you know, the mark was just missed, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing malicious here. It's yeah. just it's just not, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would be comfortable with this going under A Tree Grows in Lawndale and okay. above Mart of Darkness.
I would be A-okay with that.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and shabam.
Shabam.
Yeah, that's right. What was this one? That's right. Fat Like Me. Also, boy, I do not love that episode title.
Is it? I mean, it brings to mind that, like, don't you wish your girlfriend was, right? Which I don't know when that song.
That was definitely after.
Yeah.
That was after this episode aired.
Yeah. All right. So then is it referring to anything particular? Like, what's it playing off
of? You know, I meant to look that up. I'm really not sure. Here, hold on. Let me. Outpost Daria tends to have stuff about that. Let's yeah. see. Digging it up on the Outpost Daria. Do, do, do. Do. They have a picture like that. So Outpost Daria does like a little photo with every episode. And the one they have is Sandy strutting up on her crutches with her midriff revealing shirt and looking like a perfectly normal teenage girl. Here we go. The title is a play on Black Like Me by John Howard Griffin, a true account of the author's experiences posing as a black man in the American South of the 1960s. The novel was made into a 1964 film starring James Whitmore.
Ooh.
Yeah, not sure.
Posing as a black?
Hey, that's, I don't know what to.
Man, ooh.
Yeah, boy, I hope that doesn't mean what it sounds like it means.
It does sound like that.
John Howard Griffin does look like a white man.
Oh, yep. Dear.
Yeah, here we go. John Howard Griffin was an American journalist and author from Texas who wrote about racial equality. He is best known for his project to temporarily pass as a black man and journey through the Deep South of 1959 to see life and segregation from the other side of the color line.
Oh, God.
All right, well.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Oh, no. This adds just really unfortunate layer to it. Oh, no.
That's bad. Oh, boy.
I'm like in pain right now.
Yeah. I think I say we leave the episode where it is.
Okay.
but holy shit, that's not great.
Yeah, no, that's not good at all.
That's bad. That's real bad. All right.
One of those things where they were like, they really needed a copy editor.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah.
I like how that's your
Well, it is my profession.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's definitely
it's the thing. One of my coworkers, we joke about about copy editors. We have the dirty mind so that we protect the rest of the world from our dirty minds. You know, it's along those lines. We're on the lookout.
In my experience,
well, I'm
totally
glad
accurate.
I finally asked about that. Because usually I get the references in the titles, but this one I was off the mark.
Yeah, this one was lost on me, but holy shit, I'm gonna go ahead and read up on that project.
So I have heard about this project, this book. It completely fell out of my brain though. Oh wow.
Whew. All right.
I know.
Well, yeah. number 34, fat like me, right in above Mart of Darkness and below A Tree Grows in Lawndale.
So, this is what pisses me off about this. I mentioned that at the beginning of the episode, they were already in like a fat joke, a blind joke, mobility issues joke, right? Mm-hmm. And then the title is a blackface reference. Like, oh, no.
A lot of questionable decisions.
Yeah, it's really so I think that the anti-ableist language, you know, that Sandy was playing off of, like we said, came from a pure place for that character. But it really makes you examine where is that line? And it's similar to locker room talk, you know.
Right.
Maybe I'm getting off the rails here, but I swear I have a point. Like, I'm thinking particularly of Kevin, right? And the, for example, when in locker room talk, how boys will throw around the word gay, as an insult, and it's like that kind of like they don't a lot of them don't really understand at that point, you know, in their experience at their age, just how awful that is, And it's like this, that is, it's the same with all of these jokes. Like, you know, they can be insidious, you know?
Right.
So at what point do you draw the line and say, you know, like, it's not okay that our characters make these jokes for us to make a point? Or like, do we have the skill to have our characters make these jokes and get like our point across responsibly.
Right.
Oh.
And you know, there is a parallel somewhat to be drawn between, like, you know, like you were saying, Stacy? Yeah, Stacy. Right? Stacy. Yeah. Stacy making the anti-ableist remarks, but like making them out of a place of compassion. Like at the same, you know, I think about where the genesis of this concept came, of this dude rolling around in the South in blackface, posing as a black man to try to understand what life was like for African Americans at the time. Like,
yeah, you mean, can like, does see it come where from it comes a from. Good place. It probably right. does.
Right. Right. But
I mean, like, yeah, I mean, who is posing? I mean, is Sandy posing as fat here? Like, yeah, like she's not actually fat, right. But like, is she? She's not really experiencing what it is to be fat.
No,
it's
but she's also
all
she's,
her internal prejudices. It's not.
It's all her. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah.
Sorry, I trampled all over you there. For
no, that's okay. I'm getting, you know, I'm starting to ramble a little bit. I've been taken aback by this. I'm trying to calculate. I'm trying to do the math in my brain.
She's also like Sandy. I mean, is also like draping herself in the she's draping herself in the shame and attention and eventual, you know, quote unquote glory that all come from, you know, having experienced a journey of weight gain and weight loss, mm-hmm. right? And like, she is preying upon Quinn's kind nature and taking advantage of Quinn gain her attention, and eventually benefits from Quinn's dedication as a friend, and you know, loses the 5 ounces that she gained or whatever. You know, so she is reveling in all of that attention. She is reveling in the drama of it. And then, you know, when she comes back to school and everyone's like, oh my God, she lost weight. And you know, like you mentioned it, everyone's just kind of standing around her fawning. Like, she again is totally soaking all of that in. Like, that is everything she could have asked for and then some out of this situation. And in reality, she didn't go on any kind of journey. She gained and lost a few pounds. I did that today. Like,
yeah. Yeah, okay. So like, when you talk through it like that, I, you know, she's coming from a place of privilege as a thin person, right? And
right.
So is Griffin coming from a place of privilege as a white person, you know, pretending to be black and then can return to his life of privilege,
right?
So in, I suppose that there is parallel there. I don't know. Yeah, I need to think about this a little more. I'm like deeply regretting not having done the cultural context this week. Like, we maybe totally should have talked about this.
I mean, okay. I mean, we're talking about it now.
Yeah, but, I know. But just not as well informed as we could be.
I mean, I think if we were going to do cultural context this week, I was looking at doing like fat phobic stuff. I was looking at doing like obesity epidemic stuff.
Yeah, would we have even looked at the title? Right.
So we could have ended up here
anyway,
a half an hour after the fact.
Oh man!
But that is, yeah. Like, I don't know if that makes me like rethink the ranking at all, or if it's like this goes beyond just the ranking of it. This is such a, like, this is a very complicated thread that we've pulled at.
It is very complicated, and I don't know if sometimes not a lot of thought goes into a title.
Yes.
And people just slap it on there and call it a day.
Yes.
It seems like there is some thought put into this. There seem to be parallels, right?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. But it was all well intentioned.
Yeah, so. I don't think, you know, as with so many other things we've said about this episode, I don't think there's anything malicious here.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
Deeply unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
So I guess maybe with the asterisk that it might actually have slipped below the very bottom of our rankings and gone straight to hell.
I mean, I think like from what I the little that I know about this book and Griffin's experiment is that like it was a like a big deal at the time. It just doesn't really like hold up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, you know, we said, you can see where he was coming from. Like, you can see the genesis of that idea. Yeah. And, you know, in the late 1950s, like, you know, we talk a whole lot about this in this podcast about how, like, well, you kind of have to look at it in the scope of, well, this was written 20 years ago. You know, times were different. Yeah. Which, yeah, I hate saying that because it's a crutch for so many shitty, horrible behaviors. But also there is truth to the concept of, hey, people writing contemporaneously in, you know, the early 2000s, would definitely have a different idea of what's okay to talk about and what's not okay to talk about and what's okay to make fun of and what's not okay to make fun of. And, you know, somebody, a journalist writing in the late 1950s could definitely have a very different idea of what's okay to say and what's okay to investigate and how it's okay to investigate certain things.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it comes down to for me is like the parallel that's drawn between the title draws between race and weight,
yes,
is just it's not proportional.
No,
you know, like people haven't been enslaved because of their weight, you know. So
Stacy lived as a quote unquote obese person for a couple days and yes. went right back to her life as a privileged, mm-hmm. You know, regular weighted, teenage girl. And that is, you know, you don't get to just like, you don't get to choose whether or not you're black.
No.
Like, yeah, that's bad. I like that we learned this one fact and it just broke the podcast.
Yes. Yes. It broke the podcast. It broke my brain. I was like, hey, look, we're going to get to bed early tonight. Nope. Oh, well, I still will, but.
Well, I mean, people are going to be listening to this episode and they're going to be like, wow, they're getting to the episode rankings. There's like 30 minutes left. What's going on?
There's not even a cultural context. What's going on here?
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Well, maybe we should wrap it up.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on this journey with us. All right. I'm going to hit the outro music, and hopefully it only plays once. Let's see what happens. And that about wraps it up for – oh, my God. And And that about wraps it up for this episode of Morgan Dorks. Holy shit. Check out our Patreon. You can sign up at patreon.com/MorganDorks for $1 a month. You can support our silly mission and listen to an unedited version of each podcast a few days before it airs. How could you lose?
or just the morning it airs in this case.
Yeah. Well,
Life's hard, guys.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna get the unedited version up tonight. I think that's not gonna be a problem. The edited version might go up a little bit later than usual. We'll see.
There have been problems.
Yeah, seriously, Jesus. As always, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at MorganDorks. Email us at MorganDorks@gmail.com or check out our website, anchor.fm/MorganDorks. We're also on Facebook, fb.me/MorganDorks.podcast, or just search for Morgan Dorks. We are the only thing called Morgan Dorks. Special thanks, as always, to Outpost Daria Reborn. Link is in the show notes. Special thanks to Outpost Daria Reborn for destroying our podcast.
Oh, God.
Outpost Daria Reborn giveth and taketh away.
Yes.
As always, thank you, Nyssa.
Thank you, Rob.
And thank you, listeners. We will see you again in 2 weeks for season 5, episode 4, Camp Fear, here on Morgan Dorks. Oh, Jesus.